Thank you, Mark, for leading those songs. Several of those songs kind of went along with what I have to share today. And as I heard, several of y'all shared this morning about hurting people, and I know I've said this before, but I'm going to keep saying it as long as I keep, as it keeps happening to me. We don't know how truly blessed we are to be here today, to be born into the families that we're born into. Jerry preached at a memorial this week, Friday, for a 39-year-old man, and there wasn't 39 people there. There was probably 10 people there that never met him, or had only met him maybe once or twice. And were there for people that not even in remembrance of him, but for his brother. So we are truly, truly blessed. And if you want what the world has, that's what they have. A life of sin. A life, supposedly at one point he had given his heart to the Lord, but he didn't always lead a good life. So if we want that good life that the world has, it's out there. Mark didn't know it, but several of the songs that he shared that we sang this morning talked about God, and that's what I'm going to talk about this morning. Knowing God. Who is God? What is God? Thank you. John 17, verse 3 says, "And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." Eternal life is to know God and to know Jesus. So, we're going to go back to Exodus 33, where I'm going to read some out of. And this was Moses after he had, after the children of Israel had built the calf, and he had broken the Ten Commandments, and then he was talking to the Lord. And verse 13 of 33 says, this is Moses talking to the Lord. He says, "Now therefore I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, show me now your way, that I may know you, and that I might find grace in your sight, and consider that this nation is your people." That should be each one of our prayers. Show me now your way, that I may know you, and that I may find grace in your sight. We need to know who God is. Dropping down, verse 17 says, "So the Lord said to Moses, 'I will also do this thing that you have spoken.'" And it says, "For you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name." How many of us, you know, if we were to meet somebody and they call our name, that feels really good, you know? Somebody that we haven't seen in a while, and they remember your name. It feels good, you know? It feels even better if they're an important person, you know? How many of us would feel a little puffed up if Donald Trump walked in here and said, "Hey, Jerry, nice to see you again. Hey, Amos, I remember when I met you, we had lunch together." And yet God is saying to Moses, "I know you by name." God knows each one of us by our names. So we have that blessing. Then Moses said to him, in verse 18, he says, please show me your glory. And we know the story how God told him that no one can see my glory, can see my face and live. And yet he put him on a rock and he covered him with his hand and put him in the cleft of the rock and walked by him. And I'm going to go down to verse chapter 34, verse 6 and 7. And this is the Lord talking to Moses. And it says, and the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and children's children to the third and fourth generation. I'm going to stop right there and make a few comments on that. It says, the Lord, God, merciful and gracious. God is merciful. His mercies are never ending. You know, if we were to get what we truly deserve, none of us would be here. God is, he's merciful, he's gracious. He's long-suffering. You know, slow to anger. The NIV says slow to anger, which is long-suffering. You know, how many of us can say that we are long-suffering, that we are slow to anger? We have our children and we want to correct them and they don't listen. And yet, how many times do we listen when God wants us to do something? Abounding in goodness and truth. Abundant. God has that abundant goodness to us, abundant truth. He's always truthful, always faithful. Keeping mercy for thousands. Forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. You know, God is there to forgive us when we ask for it. It goes on to say, by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation. When we think of God, you know, when we think of someone in authority, we think of God as someone in authority as well. When we think of authority, oftentimes we think of somebody carrying a big stick. You know, somebody that's going to make sure we walk the line. And maybe it's because of things that have happened in our lives. Maybe that's how our father was, or how our mother was, or how our school teacher was. And yet God is merciful and gracious. He forgives our iniquity and transgressions. It says here, you know, he visits the iniquity of the father and the children upon the children. And I just like to share just a little bit about what the Bible calls iniquity. Isaiah 53 verse 6 says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. That is what iniquity is. Turned everyone. We have all gone astray, and we have turned everyone to our own way. You know, and so that's doing our own thing. These are the iniquities, and if we have children, you know how, you know, they like to do their own thing. They like to do our own way, and so many times we pass things on down to our children that we don't even realize that we do. But yet there is a way to break that, break those iniquities. And Moses repents of these things. In verse 9, he said, if I have now found grace in your sight, O Lord, let my Lord, I pray, go among us, even though we are stiff-necked people, and pardon our iniquity and our sin, and take us as your inheritance. He asked for forgiveness for their iniquities. Daniel did the same thing in Daniel 9, 1 through 6. Maybe we'll start in verse 2. It says, In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books of the number of years specified by the word of the Lord through Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. He knew that Jerusalem, that the Israelites were going to be sent back. He said, then I set my face toward the Lord God and made to make requests by prayer and supplications with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. And I prayed to the Lord my God and made confession and said, O Lord, great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant and mercy with those who love him and with those who keep his commandments. We have sinned and committed iniquity. We have done wickedly and rebelled, even departing from your precepts and your judgments. Neither have we heeded your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings and our princes, to our fathers and all the peoples of the land." He was confessing their iniquities so that the Lord would remember them no more. We have to confess when we have iniquities in our lives. And the Lord will forgive them. So we know that the Lord is compassionate, He's merciful, He's gracious, He's slow to anger, He's long-suffering, He forgives our iniquities. But jumping down to verse 14 of Exodus 34, it says, "For you shall worship no other God, for the Lord, whose name is jealous, is a jealous God." He wants us. He loves us. You know, if you've ever seen a child with a toy, and that's his toy, and one of his brothers, maybe this doesn't happen in your house, but one of his brother or his sister is messing with this toy, and it comes up, and he's like, "That's mine," and he grabs it and takes it away. You know, they're jealous. "That's mine." Husbands, you're jealous of your wives too, probably. If someone is talking to them more than what you think they should, or, you know, God is a jealous God. He wants us for His own. He loves us, and He's gone through so much for us. Psalms 103, starting in verse 8, it says, "The Lord is merciful and gracious." And this is some of the same verses, some of the same things being said over again that were said in Exodus. It said, "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will He keep His anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities." He hasn't given us what we deserve. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear Him. For He knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. God knows us, knows our weaknesses, knows our strengths. He's willing to, He's merciful and gracious, it says again, slow to anger. It keeps repeating some of those same things that it said back in Exodus. You know, the Lord is bringing this up to David, reminding him. And then I like how it starts in verse 11. It says, For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward those who fear Him. Far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. You know, we've all heard that saying, and we all know that you can go east as long as you want to go east, and you'll keep going east and just keep circling the earth. It's kind of a neat thing that doesn't say, "As far as the north is from the south," because you go north to the North Pole and you start back south again. You get to the South Pole and you start back north again. That can be measured, but yet east to the west can't be measured. And then, you know, you wonder, how does Jesus fit into what God is? And we jump back to New Testament, 2 Corinthians, verse 1, 3 through 5, said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." He's Jesus' Father, and Father of mercies and God of all comfort. So here we have God, who is, not only is all these merciful, He's all these things to us, but He's the Father of Jesus. Says, "Who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds through Christ." You know, how many times have we been through something in our life and we wonder, "Why, Lord? Why do I have to go through this? You know, this is hard. You know, I don't want to do this." And yet, 2 or 3 years down the road, someone else is going through the same thing. And we're able to say, you know what? I've been there. I've walked through that. You need God. You need to turn to God. This is what God revealed to me in this difficult time in my life when I went through the same thing you're going through. You know, it's how many times have you heard, you know, people that have been able to reach other people because of horrible things that have happened to them. And yet because of that, they were able to help them. You know, God has all these things in plan. God is all knowing. And he's there for us. We talk about Jesus. Back to Jesus again. John 14:9 says, he's talking to Philip. He said, and Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? You know, if we've seen Jesus, we've seen the Father. They're one. And Jesus has that same compassion for us, the same feelings for us that we have, that God has. Galatians 2:20 said, I have been crucified with Christ. Paul's talking to them and he says, I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. In the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. God loved us, Jesus loved us, and he was willing through that love to go to the cross and give his life for us. You know, that love, that abounding love that Christ has, that abundant love that God has, comes through to Christ, and Christ, through all that, was willing to die for us. Give his life for our sins. Hebrews 1:1-3 talks about what Jesus and how Jesus and Christ, God, are together. It says, God, who at various times in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, he has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. You know, God used his prophets. He used different things to speak to different people through all the years. Now he has sent his Son. You know, he tried different ways to reach the people, speak to the people. And finally he said, I'm going to send my Son. And so God, Jesus, he says he's being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his word, express image of his person. He's God. You know, in flesh. And then we're going to go to Ephesians 2:4-7. He's going to talk about God and his mercy and his love again. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us. He loves us. He's got more mercy than we can handle. It says, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. He loved us so much that even when we were sinners, even when we didn't love him, he had that sacrificial love, that agape love, to go to the cross. He said, by grace you have been saved. He made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. He was willing to give his own Son because he loved us so much, because he had his mercy and his grace that he cares for us. You know, God is, he's compassionate, he's jealous, he's all these things. And he loves each and every one of us. jumping back to Psalms. And I took my marker out. Back to Psalms 103. And I'd just like to read a little bit more than what I read and reread some of it. But in closing, Psalm 103, and I'll read 1 through 14. It says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, all the things He does for us, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies." You know, we think of all these things that happen to us, and it's like, oh, they just happen, or, you know, they gave me medicine and I'm better. But yet He says He heals us from all our diseases. "Who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known His ways to Moses, His acts to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will He keep His anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear Him. For He knows our frame, He remembers that we are dust." God is a loving God, and He wants each one of us to come to Him. He wants us to seek Him, to follow Him. And the psalmist, David, is reminding himself. He's writing this to himself, actually. You know, "O my soul, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me." He's reminding himself how great God is and how the things that God does for him. You know, God loves us, and you know, as a father looking down on us, He wants what's best for us. And sometimes us as parents, we try to tell our kids that, you know, I know you can't understand this now, but you know, this is what's best for you. You know, this mom and dad are doing what's best for you. And yet so often when God has His plans for us, we don't understand. We want to rush ahead. We want to push ahead. And yet God's saying, "No, hold on. I've got something for you to learn here. I've got something for you to walk through here before you get to this." You know, God has our best interests at heart. Just like us as parents have our children's best interests at heart. We punish them. We correct them. We help them out because we love them. And God loves us in the same way. Even so much more than what we love, than what we can love. So, I just like to each one of you to remember to think on these things, that God loves us. His mercies are new every day, it says, and He is a God of compassion. When Moses asked Him to reveal Himself, this is what God said He was. God said He was compassionate, He was gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love, abounding in faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, mercy to thousands, forgiving iniquity and sin. This is who God is. This is what God is telling us that He is. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, I thank You for this day You've given us. Dear God, thank You for the rain You blessed us with. Dear God, You know that we need it. Just thank You for supplying our needs. Dear God, thank You for these words that we have, that you have written down for us. Dear God, thank You that we can go to them and we can read Your word, and we can know You. We can know who You are. Dear God, I pray that the request of Moses would be our request as well, that we would want to know who You are, that we would want to seek You, that we would ask that You would reveal Yourself to us. Dear God, I pray that we would seek You with our heart, and we would follow after You.
I ask that you would just be with us today. You would go with us, give us the protection today, and keep us in your care, and bring us back together tonight. In your name I pray. Amen. You're dismissed.